Sunday morning worship for May 29th, Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. These all look to you, to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked, saying, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today's gospel starts in an odd way. We are told that Jesus is answering a question, but we are not told what the question is, so let's include that here. The previous verse. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world?" That's from John 14, verse 22. And then everything we hear Jesus say in our gospel is the answer to that question. How will Jesus be known to his disciples, yet unknown by all the other people of the world? It's a good question. But in addition to being a question of how, it is also a question of why. Why should it be that the followers of Christ know about him, but nobody else does? Because we might wish that it wasn't this way. I think it would be better, or easier at least for us, if everybody understood what Jesus said and did, and that everyone would recognize that he was the Son of God. At least it would be better for us. It would certainly make life easier for those of us who believe in Jesus and yet live in the world. But that is simply not how things are. Judas, not, again, Judas Iscariot, but the other one, his question reflects this truth. There's us and there's them. There are the people on the inside and there are the people on the outside. There are those who follow Jesus and those that do not. And that's the way it will always be. In addition to being Pentecost, today is also Confirmation Day for three young men. It is called confirmation because we are confirming that they actually believe the faith that is confessed, that they confessed, through their sponsors at their baptism. Now, they will answer these questions for themselves. Essentially, we want to know whether these confirmands are really one of us. Are they followers of Christ like us, or do they belong to the world? But if you go over the rite of confirmation, you might notice something interesting. We ask the confirmands what they believe, but then we give them the answers. The answer to the question basically is the Apostles' Creed. What do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, and so on and so forth. We do not ask for their opinions. We do not ask them what they personally think of Jesus or what their feelings about God are. We do not care about their personal thoughts at all. What we want to know is if they know what we believe, what the Church believes. When the confirmands say, "I believe," are they saying what the Church believes? That's really what confirmation is about. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." This is Jesus' answer to the question about the divisions between his followers and the world. Love seems to be important in what Jesus says here, and that is certainly true. But I think this is also the source of some confusion amongst us as well. Today is Pentecost, in addition to Confirmation Day. Today is the celebration of the giving of the Holy Spirit to the disciples of Jesus, who then become the apostles of Jesus. But not everyone understands what this means or who the Spirit is. When we hear about the Spirit and spiritual things, we tend to think about feelings. Feeling good, feeling excited, feeling as though you really love God and really want to be his follower. Look and see what the disciples did on Pentecost. Now they can speak in tongues. Doesn't this prove that the Spirit makes people feel miraculous and enthusiastic things? Some might seem to think that. We've been talking about confirmation, and speaking of confirmation, there are other churches that do something that looks similar to what we are doing when we practice the rite of confirmation, where a person seeking to join their churches is invited to come up to the altar when they feel the Spirit move them to do so, when they feel a certain way. They might also be invited to give some sort of testimony about their conversion experience, how it was that the Spirit convinced them or convicted them to give their heart to Jesus, and so on. Again, some of that might look like our rite of confirmation, although I suppose our confirmation is much less exciting by comparison. But these similarities are only on a surface level. What other churches do with their altar calls and testimonies has very little to do with the Spirit's work. That's clear from what Jesus says in today's gospel. The main problem with most people's understanding of the Holy Spirit is that they think that his work is about feelings and opinions and subjective experiences. The focus is on how I am feeling, about what I am thinking, and what my opinions about God are. As a corollary, this turns the church into an association of like-minded individuals, that we are a church because we share the same views on the subject of God, like a political party or a fan club. But this is not what the church is at all. And this is not what a follower of Jesus is. Feelings and opinions are fine as far as that goes, but none of that is at the center. None of this makes you a Christian. Thoughts, feelings, and opinions are not really what the church is built on. Instead, the center is what Jesus talks about in our gospel. Let me read to you a longer portion of those words. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Again, the term love is important here. But there's another phrase that's important as well, the word and keeping the word. If we understand what the word of Jesus is, then we'll understand what the Spirit is really doing. Keep my word, Jesus says. We still use that phrase in modern English, keeping our word. When we say that, we're talking about keeping a promise and doing what we said we'd do. That's what it means to keep your word. And that's actually pretty close to what Jesus means when he uses that phrase in our gospel as well, except that he's not talking about keeping his own promises. That's already guaranteed. But he's talking about the disciples keeping his promises, keeping his word. What could that mean? Well, it kind of means the same thing. As the one who makes the promise does what he promises to do, the person that he makes the promise to also needs to hang on to what was promised, to be waiting for the other person to do what they said. That's what Jesus is talking about when he talks to the disciples this way. Hang on to the promises of Jesus. Jesus has kept his promise to die for sinners like you. In fact, when you were baptized, that promise was directly applied to you in particular. But now, you need to hang on to what Jesus promised. Keep his word by believing that Jesus has kept his word to you. This also explains what Jesus means by love. When Jesus talks about love, he does not mean a feeling. Love is not liking someone an awful lot or having a high opinion of them. Love is simply a relationship. You love your children, but you do not always like them. but your love is merely a reflection that they are your children and you are their parent. Your children might make you angry and give you all sorts of bad feelings all the time, but you love them because they are your children. That's simply a fact of them being your kids. You are part of one family. That is the love that Jesus is talking about. Love is being part of the family of God. You love God not because you like him, but because you belong to him. And the Father loves you in the same way. He is not always pleased with what you do, but if you believe the promises of Jesus, if you keep his word, then you belong to God's family. And he will love you no matter what you do or who you are. All the talk about feelings and opinions and decisions for Jesus and all of that is actually very dangerous, because this is what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to think of your faith as a matter of feeling a certain way about God, as though that's also what love was. And the devil wants you to think being a Christian is about living a certain way and doing the right things. He wants you to focus on yourself, because the devil knows that feelings can change, and the devil knows that we won't always do what we're supposed to do. The devil knows that we will not always like God. You won't always do the right thing. And if that's what being a Christian is for you, then you're not going to be a Christian for very long. If the Spirit is just about feelings, then the devil wins. When the confirmands, though, come forward to answer the old baptismal questions, one of the questions we also put to them is what was asked at their baptisms. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? What you renounce is what the devil tells you, that it's all about your thoughts and your feelings and your opinions and your behavior. The devil wants you to focus on you. But instead of doing that, we renounce that. Instead, we rely on what the Spirit really teaches, what he teaches being the words and promises of Jesus. Do you know what Jesus has promised you? And do you believe that Jesus will keep these promises to you? If so, then you are one of us, and that's all that matters. Not who you are, not how you feel, not what you've done, but whether you trust in the promises of Jesus. Only the Spirit can teach these things. Only the Spirit can lead you to trust in Christ, in him only. Thankfully, though, this is what he has done for you. You do trust in Christ, and therefore you are part of God's family, and you do love God just as much as he loves you, whoever you are and whatever you have done. The world does not know Jesus this way, but by the Spirit you do. And so you are part of his church. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we use the words that the Spirit has taught us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church with the remembrance of all that Christ Jesus has spoken. Comfort us with divine peace, and do not let our hearts be troubled or afraid. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, as you once chose apostles to proclaim the resurrection, so open the mouths of your pastors and people to declare his praises to all who will hear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have poured out your Spirit upon us that we might believe your truth and raise our sons and daughters in it. Bless all parents, that they may faithfully catechize their children in your word. We pray your blessing also upon our confirmands as they prepare for receiving the Lord's Supper. May you keep them in the faith all the days of their life so that they may come to you finally on the last day and be safe in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of compassion, forget not the sick and the suffering. Grant them healing according to your will. We ask your blessing today, especially on Tom, Steve, Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Tina, Doug, Nick, Art, Abby, Mike, Monica, Kathy, Don, Scott, Sandy, Monica, Jim, Cindy, Gary, Margaret, Gina, Chris, Elizabeth, and also Shirley Rothman, Ellen Mueller, Mary Hurdle, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Daladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, John Diss, Denise Montgomery, Terry Sheldon, Shirley Fabozzi, Elizabeth, and Alan Stroud. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and, trusting firmly in your grace for us by his death, obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word, as becomes it, may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.